All right, we're gonna do a little study. I'm bypassing the trivia tonight. I'm kind of glad I did. Save a little bit of time. And Sean was not here. Is what shined. This is the prophecy of Daniel, the prophecy in Daniel 9. So we're going to kind of dissect this and go over some of the stuff. I thought this was really interesting to go over some numbers, so I'm going to do my best to confuse everybody tonight. Daniel perceives the written prophecy of Jeremiah and the completion of 70 years approaching. So it's really neat with this. Is the prophecy that Daniel gets in chapter 9 covers basically from then till the end minus one thing, which is the mystery. Secret. But it covers all the way to the end. The prophecy that he gets. So it's very unusual. So that's why I thought it was a very fascinating thing. He learns about what's happening and what's going to take place after the 7 years of captivity. And we're going to go over that. That they're coming. It's coming up. That time frame is starting to come due. And so he learns from it by the written word of Jeremiah that exactly what would take place in the 70 years. So it's something that fed one prophecy basically onto another. And in chapter 9, he repents for himself and the people. It's very unique because this is a very heartfelt repentance that he does for his country or his people, the Jewish people. And so what he does is really interesting on how he lays himself out to repent and what words he actually says. He is met by the messenger, Gabriel. He's instructed on the timing of things to come and how the events will be divided by times or years. And I'll kind of go over that in just a minute. Not only an accurate prophecy events that will take place, but also when they will take place. So a lot of prophecies will tell you this is going to take place. Something will happen, be watching for this. This tells you when. This is going to tell you when things happen, how they're going to take place. And so it's very peculiar, and it leads to absolutely no doubt the authenticity of the word. It absolutely does. So it's really impressive. Let's go to Daniel here, if everybody's not there. And we're going to be in 9, and I am going to read some of it here, but I will kind of try to make up a little bit of time here. It's on page 855. Okay, and this is chapter 9. I'll go ahead and read chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. And you see right above it, it says, encouraged by Jeremiah's prophecies, Daniel makes intercession for his city and his people. Gabriel dispatched with the direct and intelligible revelation. Verse 1, in the first year of Darius, son of Azarias, of the seed of Medes, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived by writing the number of the years as to which the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah the prophet. He learned that 70 years, here's what we're going to experience, here's what's going to happen, and here's where we are. To fulfill the desolation of Jerusalem, 70 years. Verse 3, So I set my face unto Adonai Elohim to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and with ashes. Yea, I prayed unto Yahweh my Elohim and made confession and said, I beseech thee, O Adonai, thy El, great and to be revered, keeping the covenant and the loving kindness to them who love him, to them who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity and been guilty of lawlessness and been rebellious, even departing from thy commandments and from thy regulations, and have not hearkened unto the servants and the prophets who spake in thy name unto our kings, our rulers, our fathers, and unto all the people of the land. And it goes into it even more in depth how his repentance is. He lays himself just flat out, just speaking to Yahweh, asking for the forgiveness for what has taken place, even though they've already been in captivity for years. But now he realizes something's different. Something's going to change. Here's the time frame that he read from Jeremiah that's going to tell him what's going to happen. And things are going to be different. Things are going to change. And so this is what kind of inspires him. And it can inspire us. From the ashes comes the glory. So even in our own demise, we can find ourselves elevating out of that. So this is the same way for them. They should not have ever been in this predicament, but they got themselves into this predicament. But now there's going to be newness that can come out of it. So, the timing. Let's take a peek at the timing. And let's flip over here to start with, because timing is very important. Keep a ribbon here if you have one, because we are coming back. And let's go to Galatians 4. And it's going to be chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, on page 193 of the Rotherham. And if somebody will read that for me there, please, 1 through 7 of chapter 4.
But I say, for as long a time as the heir is an infant, he differeth nothing from a servant, the Lord of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the days were appointed of the Father. So also we, when we were infants, under the elementary principles of the world, were held in servitude. But when the fullness of the time came, is that Yahweh or Yahweh sent forth his Son, who came to be of a woman, who came to be under law, that them who were under law he might redeem, that the sonship we might duly receive. And because ye are sons, Yahweh has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, exclaiming, Abba, O Father, so that no longer art thou a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through Yahweh.
And that we should really contemplate that what our position is. But the biggest thing of this whole thing is right in the center, or close to center there, is that verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, Yahweh sent forth his Son. What was the fullness of time? And that stems all the way back to Daniel 9. That is the fullness of the time, and that's what we're going to see, who came to be of a woman. And so that's where we're going to go to get to this. It stems back to that, leading that what would take place with Christ. Not the birth of him, but the fullness of time, what happened with Christ and what ended with Christ on his life. Okay? All the way to the cross. And so this is all predicted, all forecast and prophesied in Daniel 9. And that's what we're going to kind of go over here and look at here tonight. Fullness of time. Jeremiah prophesied about the 70 years of servitude and the desolations of Jerusalem. Okay, and you can read those. If anybody wants a copy of any of this stuff, I'd be more than happy to give them to them. This is the servitude and the desolation. This is where he read about it. Daniel knew from Jeremiah's prophecy the 70 years were drawing to an end. Okay, and that's the 9:2. Daniel made supplication for all the peoples of Yahweh, the people's sins of Yahweh, and Gabriel gives instruction to Daniel about things to come, the prophecy of the 70 weeks. And we're going to dissect that. That's what we're going to kind of focus on. So to start with, the weaker weeks. If I told you I had a dozen, your question would be, a dozen what? Okay, you don't have 12 of something. Okay, a dozen does not mean eggs, it means attached to something. The word week is the same way. It means seven. Now, it can mean 7 days and it can mean 7 years. And so if you go all the way back to Genesis, in Genesis 29, when Rachel and Leah are being married away, he says that he'll work another week. Okay, well, it's not a week, it's a 7 year period. So it's the same. So when you see that, don't be misguided, because it will refer to it as week or weeks. And that is referring to years. And so this is it right here. So you see it right here, week, seven period of 7 days or years. Okay, and if you look at the theological words of the Old Testament, it tells you there, period of seven, a week, blah, 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 goes into that. So that's where we look at. So when people hear it and they say it, they may misread that, but that's what we're referring to. Prophecy to Daniel, as we get into it, I'm going to kind of dissect a little bit early. So as we go through it, you can kind of know what we're saying, so you're not as lost, hopefully. 70 weeks equals 7 times 70, or 490 years. Okay? Here's where we get this from, because we're going to see this as we read this. 7 weeks is 7 times 7 equals 49 years. Okay? 62 weeks, or some translations will say like 62 years or something like that. That is the same thing. We're 60, that's 20. A score is 20, so 60 and 2 years would be 62 times 7 equals 434 years. Okay? The next one, 49 plus the 434 equals 483 years. Okay? We're seven short. 1 week, 7 years, divided in half, 3.5. We jump from one to the other. As per Daniel's revelation that he received from Gabriel, we go from one into the other. Okay? That's the last 7 years. That last 7 years from the 483 to make the 490 is tribulation. That's it. And it's split in half. And he talks about that. He's seen this. So when Daniel gets this revelation, this covers a broad specter. It covers a big specter. Now what's missing is us. Okay? The body of Christ, insert here. And so if you think about this, this clock here has already gone, stopped, done. It's over with. This clock here has not started. This clock is still running. And so if you think of it almost like a spaceship getting ready to launch, a space shuttle going ready to launch, And 7 minutes before it launches, they have some kind of a technical difficulty. And so they broadcast T-7 before takeoff, T-7 before takeoff. Okay? Well, that's kind of what we are right now. That's where we're at to get to this point here for the starting of this next clock. We'll not start until this clock stops. Okay? But in Daniel's prophecy, this was unknown because this is the sacred secret. Sacred secret was not revealed then. So there was no knowing of it. So it jumps across there. So we insert in between here. And so it's important to know that 483 years of this 490 are complete. Seven are left. Seven or left.
That is 483 years. That's from Christ.
That's exactly right.
That's Christ.
That's right. Well, from that, yes, for what he forecast.
So the 483 years was pre-Christ.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, what it is this, and we're going to kind of go over this, but I'll kind of give it to you right now. The 49 years was the completion of the temple. Okay, remember they were going to go back. And under Ezra and Nehemiah, they were going to recreate, and the new temple would be. And that was 49 years. Okay, from the 49 years, it's 434 years until we get to the cross with Christ, because that leads us to 29 A.D., and I'll show you. I'll put this is all in here. It gets you to 29 A.D. That's the 434. The two of those combined make 483. Okay? So the last 7 years are on this side here.
So where was the 49? Okay.
The 49 years are the first seven. And so we'll see that. I put this on here, and that's why I said I will confuse you. I'll do my best. But I do this before we read it, because as you read it, it goes fast. It jumps. It jumps from this side to this side in one verse. Okay, and so it covers a huge span, but it's really interesting because this prophecy is accurate to the T. 483 years have been right on the nose. It's been good.
We're getting really close to that 70th week.
And we don't know. We don't know when it will be, but we do know that we're inside. So this over here is T minus the Parousia. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we're at. We're T minus the Parousia for tribulation. That's the gathering. The gathering in where Christ comes back in the clouds and the body of Christ. The dead in Christ go first and those that are alive go right with them. We're transformed and that's where we're in. That's the body. That's the sacred secret. And so that's the end of the sacred secret. And so we are T minus us. Okay, mm-hmm. To get into the end. And so that's where it's a beautiful revelation because it covers that. Now, I think to myself, if somebody told me now, it's going to be, if I knew, which we wouldn't because the Word says nobody will know when that happens. But if somebody did, they said it's going to be in 300 years, would I want to know that or would I not want to know that? And I probably would not want to know that myself, okay, just because I'm looking for Christ every day. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be looking for Christ. And so it's beautiful because of what came about of how the revelation was and how accurate it was from Gabriel. So let's take a look at it again here. I'm going to put go ahead.
You were talking about the sacred secret. He just brought me. You know, I've been studying that for the last several days, or a couple days now, or day and a half. The question I got is, you're talking about the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
That being the actual sacred secret.
That's the close of it. So the beginning of it. The beginning of it happened in Acts. Okay.
What's that? It's our inheritance, right? I mean, it's pretty much who we are in Christ.
That's right. That we become Christ. You are Christ. There's no Jew or Gentile. We are Christ. So we are sons of Christ. We are fellow heirs of Christ. So we are the sacred secret, which was unknown unto the ages. And so that is us. So there's a beginning in Acts where we became this, and there will be an end where we are gathered together and pulled up. The parousia, or what people refer to as a rapture, it's a calling. We get called back up. That is the end of that. Now that closes that chapter. That's where we're in here. Previous. That jumps across to this side. We are in between where this was not known. And so in Acts, when Christ told them to stay, this is what took place afterwards. This happened in Acts. The body of the Christ became enabled or established, okay, the sacred secret. And then it was revealed. And now it's no longer a sacred secret. It's right here. Here's the secret. It was a secret. It's not a secret anymore, but it will come to a definitive end, and that end is going to be when we are called together in Thessalonians. Okay? And that's it. And when that happens, how long it takes before this kicks off? I don't know. Maybe soon, might be right away, I don't know. But we know that the finish, the last week of this prophecy is the 7 years right here that we see, and that will make the 490 years. Okay? That will complete it. Okay, so here we are, the 7 weeks equals 49 years, and here's the dates, here's the timelines for that. We're looking at 454 to 405 B.C. The decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem takes place during this time frame. Okay? It was destroyed. It was told it was going to be destroyed. They were told they were to rebuild it. And this is it, the decree. Now, go rebuild it. Go take this back. That's the 49 years. That's the first 7 weeks. Okay? Or 49 years. 62 weeks, 3 score and 2, 20, 20, 20, and 2, is 434 years. Starting from the 405 brings us to 29 AD. Okay? This brings us to that point. Now, the last seven years is still on hold. It's on hold for us. Okay, so Messiah in that time frame, Messiah is cut off. This is in the prophecy. Messiah is cut off. Some translations will say, but not for himself. It was for us. Some will say that he was with nothing. Okay, there was no inheritance when Christ died. There was no siblings. There was no anything to give. Christ died, and what happened was he knew that in 7 days or 3 days he'd be raised. And then what happened is we led into the sacred secret. Okay, if anybody does have any questions, just holler out. 434, okay, plus the 49 is the 483 years, 7 years short, okay, to be revealed in Revelations. And you can read about this in Revelation 6. It goes like 6 through all the way to 11, where it talks about the breaking in half, where it does it by days, by months, 3.5 years, where it will say year, years, and a half a year, okay? And that's what they're referring to on that, that it will be broken in half. And what takes place in that time frame is the beast will make a truce. It will make a truce, and people will come to him and fall. Hey, great, going to take care of us. First 3.5 years. Last 3.5 years, that's broken and total. That's the desolation, basically, if you will. That everything changes now, and that's the last 3.5 years. And it is going to be very nasty. Okay, let's go into Gabriel. We're going to take a look at Gabriel before we actually read the script. And I'm kind of throwing out a lot, but it's because as we read it, there's a lot of information, and it's confusing if you don't have the, in my think, the knowledge ahead of time before I read it. Gabriel, warrior of El, or strong man of El, sent to Daniel, Zacharias, and to Mary, okay, in regards to Christ, in regards to Christ, and who else? Who else was prophesied? That's it. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So this is the man, the strong man of El, okay, or of Yahweh. Daniel 8:16, the vision of the ram and the he-goat came to Daniel. In Daniel 9:21-27, the message of the 70 weeks, the 490 years, was delivered by, the one was a vision, this one that we're going to read, he spoke it to him. He spoke it to him, as was spoken to other people as well, but he spoke this, it was not through vision. Luke 1:11, coming birth of John the Immerser, and Luke 1:26, the coming birth of Yahushua, okay, our Savior. Okay, and then you see here, when he refers to himself, to Zacharias, this is what he says. And the messenger answering said under him, okay, Gabriel, I am Gabriel, he that standeth near before Yahweh, or Elohim, and have sent forth to speak unto thee and deliver the joyful message unto thee as touching these things. Okay, so this is who he's calling it, who he is. So this is big stuff. It's pretty neat. Let's go to Daniel now. Go back to it where we were, and we're going to get into this now.
He's probably got a lot of brass.
Yes, he does. You know this guy's looking good. He's got all kinds of ribbons. All right. Okay, Daniel, we're going to be in verse 18 through 23, and I will read these here on page 856. Daniel 9:18-23. Okay, here we go, through 23. Incline, O my Elohim, thine ear, and hearken. Open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city on which hath been called thy name, for not on the ground of our own righteousness, excuse me, are we causing our supplications to fall down before thee, but on the ground of thine abounding compassions. O Adonai, or Lord, hear, O Adonai, forgive. O Adonai, hearken and perform. Do not delay. These are all things that you'd be like going, okay, note to self. This is how we call. This is what we do. This is the repentance. All these things are great examples. For thine own sake, O my Elohim, because thine own name hath been called upon thy city and upon the people. And while yet I was speaking and praying and confessing my own sin and the sin of my people Israel and causing my supplication to fall down before Yahweh my Elohim concerning the holy mountain of my Elohim, while yet I was speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in a vision at the beginning, that was the earlier one, the he-goat and the ram, wearied with rapid flight, touched me about the time of the evening present. Okay, or oblation, however, the evening present, the evening gifts or offerings, Yea, he came and spake with me and said, O Daniel, now have I come forth to teach thee understanding. The now is pretty important because this start the clock. The clock is started. Okay. Now have I come forth to teach thee understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications came forth a word, and I therefore am arrived to tell, because a man delighted in thou art. Mark then the word and have understanding in the revelation. Okay? And we're going to, you stay there because we're going to keep coming back there. But again, to put this to this, these are the things that we're going to see. All right, these are the things that we're going to see, that what's going to come to an end, what's going to happen. In the 490 years, we're going to see to put an end to the transgression, fill up the measure of sin, put a propitiatory covering over iniquity, bring in the righteousness of ages, affix a seal, the vision of prophecy, and anoint the Holy of Holies. Okay? So go to 24. And if somebody would read for me 24 and 25, please.
24 and 25.
Yeah, and remember, the 70 weeks, if you put a note there, that's 490 years.
Wow. So you can kind of see where these, you know, as it divided them up, you can tell which, okay, there was Christ.
That's right. That's exactly right. As you see those, you can see the transgression, what happens, the procession over that 490.
70 weeks have been divided concerning thy people and concerning thy holy city, to put an end to the transgression and fill up the measure of sin, and put a propitiatory covering over iniquity, and bring in the righteousness of ages, and affix a seal to vision and prophecy, and anoint the Holy of Holies. Thou must know then and understand from the going forth of the word to the restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Anointed One, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The broadway and the wall shall again be built, even in the end of the times.
That's exactly it. Okay, and so what you're going to see here is the Anointed One of Christ, and then you're going to see in 26, when you go into 26, it's a different prince. Okay, this is the little horn that we get into. So when I say this jumps rapidly over that 490 years. It jumps rapidly over that 490 years, but it's exactly accurate. Okay, 49 years to one, 483 to the next, 7 to the final, so that we get to that other one.
How come that goes to 2980? I mean, I was just curious. Like,
that's just how when I read it through the, I did the study under the Bollinger Bible, mm-hmm. and that's how they had put it together. Some of them differ. Some say it goes to 33 AD.
I'm curious as to why, because it says right here, from the going forth of the word to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Anointed One, the Prince, so Jesus.
That's right.
I was just curious why it ended in 29 or 30.
That's where the 490 years come out, and that's from Bollinger. Bollinger did that, and that's where the 49 years were the establishment.
Is there anything significant around 29 AD that, I mean,
Again, some of them say 33 AD. Bollinger says 29 AD. And so I just went with what he said on that. But that was where they mapped it out for that 490 years. So he said to the cross is what he does.
When Christ is crucified.
Yeah, that's what he said, is it goes to the cross.
And then you have from 29 AD.
29 AD was the actual...
That was when he was crucified.
Really?
And then from 29 AD until the 7 years of tribulation is where we are right now. And then the last 7 years start.
I guess I got to get into that in the Bollinger.
It is kind of, that's why I say I try to break it down. It is complicated here because you have to jump around to see that, and it doesn't necessarily equate to it. And that's why I try to map it out to show that this prophecy is extremely accurate to that, to show exactly what would take place, especially the 49 years, the dedication of the temple, and then what happened in Luke. Christ comes and tells him, he comes to see the city, and what does he say? He cries, this place is going to be ruined. They're going to be able to rampart to this place and overtake it and overthrow it. And it happens. What happens? The Romans come in and they do exactly that. Christ was not. He had already been gone. Okay. So he prophesied of that, and it was accurate to it. But he didn't say when it would happen. He just said it would happen. This is mapping it out, telling us when it will happen. So it's that's what I love about it, is the accuracy of it.
When was the actual siege of Jerusalem?
You're talking about where they build the ramparts? I don't know. That was under, wasn't that under Titus? So I don't remember exactly when it was. It was about, was it like 40 years after?
70 AD.
Okay. So again, yeah, another, like another 40 years after that, that took place. But that he didn't prophesy when that would happen. He just prophesied that it would happen, and it did. And it did happen. Okay. And so that's where we look at it and see it's kind of a jumping into it. All right. Let's go to 26 and 27, and I'll read these here. And after the 62 weeks or 434 years, shall the anointed one, okay, Christ, be cut off and have nothing, and the city and the sanctuary will one destroy with the prince. We just jumped right across us. We just jumped right across us.
In the book of Revelation.
Yes, that's exactly right. We just jumped across, okay?
After the 434.
That's right. After the 434 years, next step, the anointed one will be cut off, okay, and have nothing. And the city and the sanctuary will one destroy with the prince, okay, the little horn, and so will his own income with an overwhelming flood. Howbeit, up to the full end of the war, and decreed astounding things. In verse 27, and he will confirm a covenant to the many, okay, little horn, the beast, for 1 week. You're right in there, 7 years. That's what that week is. That's the week we're talking about, that's 7 years. For 1 week. But in the middle of the week, the 3.5 years, will cause sacrifices and present to cease. And in his stead, in other words, there will still be sacrifice, there will still be things going on, people worshiping up to that point, but then it will stop. And in his stead shall be horrid admonition and that astoundeth, even till the full end and to the decreed one shall be poured out on him that astoundeth. Okay, and so this is it. It jumps across to show this. It also refers to some in Matthew and some in Isaiah that refers to what takes place, and in Revelations is what we're seeing there. We're seeing this jump right across to it. But what's interesting is we were not in this because we were the secret. Okay, and so that's what's beautiful about it. It does jump across, and like I said, it goes fast. It goes fast through there, but it does account for the 490 years. Cut off, not for himself. Let's flip over real quick here to Isaiah 53, verse 7 through 9. And I'm just going to go ahead and read this. You guys don't have to, just for sake of time. If you want to flip over to it to make any notes, but I'm going to go ahead and read this. Okay, and this is prophesying of Christ. Okay, another accurate to the T prophecy. Hard pressed, yet he humbled himself, nor opened his mouth. As a lamb to the slaughter is led, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, nor opened his mouth. By constraint and by sentence was he taken away, and of his age who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living. For my people's transgression did the stroke fall on him. And appointed with lawless men was his grave, and with the wicked his tomb, though no violence had he done, nor was no guile in his mouth. Okay, another accurate, okay, of prophecy of what was to come. I'm going to jump over here to one last thing here. I'm going to read in closing. Pretty close to closing. Oh, that's okay. I know exactly where to, but I'll tell you where to go if you want to go with me, okay, to read this. If you have the Companion Bible, and I'll read this here to you, it's page 615. Now, where I have not confused anybody, I will do my best to do it now. Okay? Because what happens is, and Bullinger does a great job with this, I'm glad he can do the math because this is confusing to me. He breaks this down into the servitude, the captivity, and the desolations. We are looking at time periods, but some started before others, even though we're all centering this around the 70 years of captivity. Okay, so I'm going to read this on page 615, Dina, where you see the special notes on 2 Chronicles 36:21. It's the servitude, the captivity, and the desolations. Okay. Three periods of 70 years are assigned to the three respectively, and it is necessary that they should be differentiated. The servitude began in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, and the second in the first of the Nebuchadnezzar, and when the kingdom passed under Chaldean rule for 70 years, and that's in Jeremiah 25. This period closed with the captions of Babylon by Darius the Median and by the decree of Cyrus to rebuild the temple. It is listed as 496 to 426 B.C. Okay? Captivity. The captivity commenced and is dated by Ezekiel from the carrying away of Babylon and Jerusalem in the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar. This was in 489. So it's 7 years different from the servitude. Okay? Consequently, when the servitude ended in 426 BC, the captivity had lasted for 63 years. 7 years later, Cyrus died in 419 B.C. That year was further notable for, and here's some of the things he noted, appointment of Nehemiah, the governor of Jerusalem, the completion of the wall in 52 days, the fact it marks the end of the fifth of the seven sevens in Daniel, okay, the captivity lasting from 489 to 419. That is 70 years, okay, that's 70 years. The desolations now, the last part of this, the desolations commence with the beginning of the third and the last siege of Jerusalem and Nebuchadnezzar in 479 and cover a period of 70 years and ending the second year of Darius in 409 B.C. This 70 years, okay, which is 70 years, yeah, thank you, which is referred to here is the fulfillment of the Leviticus and has reference to the land. It has the period which Daniel said he understood by books as being the number of years that Yahweh would accomplish the desolation of Jerusalem. Darius here is evidently Cyrus, the son of, I don't even know who that is, the son of Astygius, as the first year of his reign in 426 and follows 70 years had then yet to run before the desolation of the land ended in 409. Hence the prayer of Daniel that follows resulted in giving him the famous prophecy of the 70 years or years contained in Daniel that we just read. Okay, and the last one here I'm going to read here to you is this. Okay, this is also from the companion, which has wonderful notes on this. He really does. He has a chart, Appendix 50, where he lists all this stuff out, just methodical. It's just incredible how it's listed out. But on here, I'm going to read you just one passage. Page 653, if anybody's looking at it. This is passages in Nehemiah, and it's there. It's the 2.1. There's the note that I'm reading, Dean, at the top there of that 655. See it? Mm-hmm. Okay. In the 20th year, the 77s of Daniel 9:24 sevens begin here, 454 B.C. The 7 sevens, or 49 years, begin here and end in 405 B.C., and that's what I put on the screen to show you. This is where I got the dates from this. Marked by the completion of the dedication of the Second Temple. The 67 and 2 sevens, or 434 years, begin, or rather follow, on 405 B.C., and end in AD 29, the year of the cross. The last seven is therefore still future. The first four of the seven sevens end in 426, marked by the decree of Cyrus, which ended in the Babylonian servitude of 70 years. Okay? And so this is the prophecy that was on target with the dates, telling when those things would happen. Did I lose everybody? Okay, the promised events were foretold and came to pass. The prophecies gave instruction and future of hope. If somebody told you when something like that was going to happen, and it does, for crying out loud, that should give a little bit of authority to where that's coming from. Okay, and we have that. We can say that. We can prophesy. So the prophecies still come. We can give those. We can deliver those. And we need to look at ourselves and who we are. We are an insert of the body. We're an insert. We are a unique people in this time that we have the authority to speak in Christ's name. And so that's where we need to be excited, generated. We're going to finish on that thought. Let's go to 1 Peter. And this will be the last. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 starting. And if somebody would read that for me, 4:12 through 14. On page 241. Give everybody just a second
Daniel,
to get to
Daniel
it.
Daniel was reading all that. He was reading all that prophecy.
Yeah, that's where he got it from.
That's right. That's right. He saw that as well. And came from Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. In verse 12 there.
Chapter 4, verse 12.
Of 1 Peter.
Beloved, be not held in surprise by the burning among you, which from putting you to the proof is befalling you, as though a surprising thing were happening unto you. But, in so far as ye are taking fellowship in the Christ's suffering, rejoice, in order that, in revealing of His glory also, ye may rejoice with exultation. If ye are being reproached in the name of Christ, happy are ye, because the Spirit of the glory and the Spirit of God unto you is bringing rest.
That's exactly it. And so that's where you see that in order to be revealing of his glory, and you may rejoice with exaltation. Okay, that we will also be. So when the T minus us takes place, that will be a rejoice for us. Okay, it will be a rejoice for us as well.
So we're going to be receiving rest during that time.
That's right. We will not be subject to the horrors that will take place. Okay. No, I didn't. All right.
Why do you wish to lie to me, Don?
All right, let's go ahead and close here.
You know what you did? Thanks a lot. You just made it so I'm going to stay up another night.
Yeah.
You guys are responsible for me.
There is. If you have the Bollinger.
Tim doesn't know this. Dad gave a Bollinger Bible to give to me, and the father's something I was supposed to give to Jacob yesterday. He was looking at the Sacred Secret for the first time yesterday, and he got his first Bible for the first time yesterday.
I mean, I knew mystery.
Here's what I would tell you.
But I've never looked at it like that.
Limit yourself to 5 of each of the appendixes per day. Because they will blow your mind. The appendixes that he puts together map things together. So if you had something and you just threw a puzzle out on the floor, you'd look at it and you'd be like going, okay, some of the colors look kind of nice, I guess. But when you start putting those things together and mapping those things together, it opens up a beautiful picture. And he does that. He does this without a computer when he puts this together. It was before then, so he put all these things together and mapped them together and resources them back and forth in the appendix. He'll tell you in there when you read it, look in this appendix for this. And so I did. As I'm reading it, I'm studying this, going through this, and I go through and pull all this up. Go to Appendix 50, and it's a timeline for pretty much the Old Testament. And it lists everything together that he just methodically did by hand, penciled in. And so it's wonderful to have those, and it just opens everything else up and answers a lot of questions and brings to me, because I read something like that and I just kind of read over it and I just miss it. I'd completely miss that picture. And so, yeah, I'm still gathering and gaining something, gleaning from it. But when I can know the purpose behind it and what the actual story is, it just makes it magnifies it. So
I may say Jeremiah verse, I define thy words.